All right, should have a fun show for you today. We are going to take a look at some early season themes. I want to talk about the Super Aces and who might be joining that group of four. And we'll find out what Heath and Chris want to talk about. I really have no idea. I have no idea where they're going to go with this. Hey, Creith, what's up?
Hello.
Hi, Adam.
Oh, hey, guys. All right, great. So let's just do this show monotone. Ronaldo Lopez was pretty good last night. What'd you guys think of...
I think we should do it as an NPR.
Yeah, okay.
Ronaldo Lopez pitched very well last night. 106 pitches, 11 swinging strikes.
Sure,
but he was outdueled by Daniel Mengden.
Didn't see that coming. Hey, did you happen to get a look at the mustache that Daniel Mengden is sporting?
I have not, but I am a connoisseur of all things mustache and beard related.
All right, I'm gonna end. It was fun. That was good stuff. That was fun. Peach sweaty, everybody. Peach sweaty. All right, yeah. So we will talk about Ronaldo Lopez and Daniel Mengden, and as Drubal Cabrera is the number two shortstop in fantasy. Who's the number one shortstop in fantasy right now, guys?
Me.
Not you. Not Peach.
Didi Gregorius.
Didi Gregorius is the correct answer. We have some hay real quick with Didi Gregorius and others coming up. Who stood out to you guys yesterday? Big standouts from Monday's games.
Well, it was definitely Ronaldo Lopez, I think. And part of it, I was just giving Chris a hard time because we had a trade offer of Ronaldo Lopez for Jack Flaherty. So, of course, now I'm going to watch it closer because we didn't take that deal. But listen, the first start was good. The second start was suspicious. Only 5 strikeouts, 5 walks against the Tigers. Yeah, it was 7 shutout innings, but this was a little bit more convincing. The walks still a little bit of a concern. I would not put Lopez yet on like top 30 consideration, but I'm starting to believe it.
Yeah, I like it. It's pretty good stuff. All right, 6 innings, 2 runs, 4 walks, but 10 strikeouts at the A's. And right now, 11 walks and 21 innings. And I'm trying to figure out, because you and I have talked about him, Lopez versus Sean Newcomb, and who's got the track record and whatnot. I'm trying to figure out, you know, based on his minor league numbers, it seems like he's a little inconsistent with the walks and his major league numbers. You know, like 2017, 49 walks and 121 innings, that's kind of a lot. But the year before that, 10 walks in 33 innings at one stop, 25 walks, 76 innings. So that's not that much. So I don't know. I don't really know what to expect in terms of control for Lopez. But obviously, 71% owned, he's a little under-owned as well. Still,
he's a little under-owned, yes. He's not just been inconsistent with his walks. He's been inconsistent with almost everything. I mean, you see ERAs in the 4s. You see strikeout rates in the 7s. And then you see years like he had in 2016 where he struck out like 12 batters per 9 and walked less than 3. So the upside is absolutely there. He does look like a guy that struggles with consistency.
What's interesting about Ronaldo Lopez, and this fits in with the White Sox, is he's throwing a cutter now, and it doesn't appear to be a classification error. He's thrown it 10.5% of the time, according to PitchFX, and I'm reading a story now where he was working on that in spring training as a weapon to get lefties out. That could be big. I mean, anytime you see a pitcher throwing a new pitch, and he's apparently traded in his curveball for a slider as well. But, you know, Don Cooper, I think, is pretty well known for the development of that cutter. I think that's actually part of why Jeff Samardzija struggled there, is he couldn't get the cutter to work. But when it does work, it can be an effective pitch, and it's interesting to watch Ronaldo Lopez changing his arsenal.
And since I'm on the podcast with Chris, I need to be consistent and just say that Ronaldo Lopez has allowed a 150 BABIP and has a 93% strand rate. He's going to have to stop walking people, or it's going to catch up with him.
You mentioned Sean Newcomb versus Ronaldo Lopez. I would be more interested in Sean Newcomb at this point. But what Ronaldo Lopez is doing is very interesting.
I mean, I'm definitely more interested in Joey Lucchesi. I'm sure we all are. I think when I have a lot of these guys. Like, I have one team, which is in dead last. Actually, tied with Chris for dead last.
Are we tied now?
I'm in that league.
We are tied, yes. Heath, you're in first.
With my 5.95 team ERA?
We made a trade yesterday in that league.
We did.
You gave away Johnny Cueto.
I gave away Cueto for Adam Eaton.
So I assume you have really solid starting pitching.
This is my starting pitch. This is what I want to talk about. Okay, in this league, yes, I have Dallas Keuchel. I have Carlos Carrasco. I have Rich Hill kind of anchoring the rotation. I have Blake Snell. So I think I have pretty good pitching. I also have Tyler Skaggs, Ronaldo Lopez, Zach Wheeler, Jake Faria, Steven Matz, Mike Minor. So I have like a lot of guys. I don't know that I trust any of those other guys on, you know, on it, like start them all the time. I don't think I'm there yet. It's a matchups thing. And what I would say right now is that what I'm trying to do unsuccessfully, because nobody freaking trades in this league, is package two of them, Skaggs and Lopez, for someone more reliable that might be a buy low.
You could maybe try to trade for a guy like a Johnny Cueto.
I don't want Johnny Cueto. I think all these guys are going to strike out more batters than Johnny Cueto. And I don't want to be I don't want to talk too much about Cueto, because if I'm wrong, then it's going to make our podcast look bad. I'm obviously just taking a very strong stance. I think he's going to be good at home. I think he's not going to be worth using on the road for the most part. But anyway, I don't know. Of all these streaming pitchers that have come about, including Ronaldo Lopez, to me, Lucchesi is the only one that I have like very high hopes for. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Like, the other ones are going to be streamers. You know, they're going to be worth owning, but not necessarily must starts.
Yeah, I kind of feel the opposite. I feel like Joey Lucchesi is the kind of pitcher who could do really, really well the first 15 starts. And then as the scouting report catches up to him, he starts to lose it a bit. Because Maybe. He's not working with overwhelming stuff. He doesn't have what we would generally consider to be big swing and miss stuff. He's getting a lot of swings and misses right now. But those guys who rely on deceptiveness, it can be a really fine line.
All right, that's fair. But then who would you say, if anyone, looks like a must start to you?
Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, exactly.
In that same league, I think my pitching staff isn't that bad. But everybody has been bad. I don't think I'm actually worried about Jose Quintana or Lance McCullers.
No, Chris. I'm talking about the waiver wire guys.
Yeah.
Do any of them look like must starts to you? And that's fine if they don't. They don't have to.
No. You don't usually go from waiver wire to must start directly.
Yeah, right.
But I was just looking because I've got a massive rankings update to do today. I'm trying to do it once a week so I don't spend quite as much of my time moving guys three spots in the 60s to pitcher. But as of last week, I had him ranked Newcomb, Lopez, Lucchesi. Lucchesi's moving up, and he wasn't actually on their tier last week, but I'm still not sure he's passing Newcomb.
Wow. All right, good. I like you're dug in. You're the Sean Newcomb guy. I think my point is, like, if you can trade two of them for one really good pitcher, you should do it.
I don't – yeah, it has to be a really good pitcher. I'm not trading two of them for, like – the Sonny Gray, Kyle Hendricks group.
But you do it for Quintana.
I would.
Yeah, it's realistic. I think you could try to. It's not going to work in this league, but you could try to do it in your league out there. It might work. All right, I'm sorry. That took a long time. Hyunjin Ryu is 61% owned. He had another really good start, two in a row. Two straight starts of six innings and eight or nine strikeouts against Oakland at the Padres. Hyunjin Ryu at 61%. What do you think about that ownership?
It's low. It should be higher. I'll write about him in waiver wire today, but he's certainly less exciting. I wouldn't drop any of the aforementioned waiver wire guys for him. So I think the one thing I would run into is, like, I have Brandon McCarthy in a couple of leagues. I guess I would drop Brandon McCarthy for Hyunjin Ryu, but it doesn't feel like a slam dunk either way. Like, I think those are two very similar guys.
I kind of expect him to be added and dropped and added and dropped, like McCarthy, multiple times this year. He has got off to a very good start, but it's the Padres, Oakland, who's been better than I expected so far this year, and then a kind of a bad start in the humidor environment. So I agree with Chris. I'd put him below Lucchesi, below Lopez, below Newcomb. He's going to be matchup dependent. I don't know that I'm even looking to go at him, depending on who he has next week.
Okay, that is Hyunjin Ryu, who is in the middle of a two-start week, which is why he's 61% owned. Chris, talk to me about Christian Villanueva, 42% owned, and he's got a home run in three straight games. You might remember 10 games ago, Villanueva, He had a three-homer game. In between the three-homer game and this three straight games with a homer stretch, he batted .214 with no home runs, one walk, and 12 strikeouts. So he's 42% owned. Villanueva's got some pop. What do you think?
the plate discipline is, it looks like that's going to be a problem. It wasn't necessarily a problem in the minors, but, and he did show some pop in the minors.
It's too, like, it's been 70 major league plate appearances. So
sure. But that is a 16% swing strike rate. And that's something that, you know, 70 plate appearances, that's probably like, it's 300 pitches. That's a bigger sample size, and a 16% swinging strike rate, that's a problem. He swings at pitches outside of the zone pretty frequently. So, you know, in your head-to-head points league, that's probably a concern. But I think he's probably someone who needs to be added in all roto leagues.
Would you drop Michael Franco for Villanueva?
Nope.
No, probably not.
Okay. Any third baseman you could think of that you might consider dropping for him?
I would flip a coin on Matt Davidson.
Okay, there you go. All right, and Heath, talk to me about Asdrubal Cabrera, the number two shortstop in fantasy. 356.
He is one of those guys.
Batting average. Sorry, go ahead.
We've written a lot about, I think, already this year. I think he's made an appearance in the waiver wire column a couple of different times already this season. And he's somebody I think Chris talked about before the year that had been very, very solid. Now, so far this year, he's been a lot more than solid. I would expect he's going to be more like the player we've seen over the last 2 years and less like what we've seen the first 2 weeks of this season. But he's still someone that was under-owned for most of the season. I don't know what his ownership is now.
85%.
He's no longer under-owned.
Yeah.
That's probably about right.
Very useful player. Should have been owned more. This is something that tends to happen in fantasy. I think it's true in every sport. Is before the season, a guy who's 32 years old, you know, hit, is coming off a decent season, but nothing spectacular. We're just like, eh, who cares? There's exciting guys. Asdrubal Cabrera is pretty good, though. Like, you're never going to be excited about having him in your lineup, but you're never going to have the lows either. You're never going to feel like Asdrubal Cabrera is ruining your team. He's owned right around where he should be, especially with the triple eligibility.
Yeah, would you rather have Asdrubal Cabrera or Paul DeJong?
DeJong
still.
Okay. I do love that triple eligibility, though, for Cabrera. Very, very useful in deep leagues. And Chris, I didn't let you talk about a standout. Was there anyone you wanted to discuss?
We should talk about a guy who has multiple four-hit games this season and stole a whole bunch of bases in the minors, Malik Smith.
Yeah.
He's going to be starting, I would guess, pretty much every day, I think, is what Kevin Cash is his name. Kevin Cash. Basically said with Kevin Kiermaier out for, what, 6 to 8 weeks?
No, like 8 to 13 weeks.
Even better. Malik Smith is going to be the everyday center fielder in Tampa Bay. He's showing improved plate discipline. He's actually, you know, you look at his major league career now, he's 264 hitter, 330 on base, 34 steals, and 542 plate appearances. That's a little worse than what we were hoping from Delino DeShields, but it's not that much worse.
Yeah, he bats ninth or right now. That could change. He bats low in the order. This is Malik Smith we're talking about. I think Smith is 31% owned. And yes, he did have a four-hit game yesterday. He's off to a bit of a slow start, 2 out of 5 steals, but he's better than that. He stole 16 bases in 21 attempts in half a season last year. So, yeah, you need steals.
Yeah, Malik Smith. Per 150 games in the minors, he averaged 84 stolen bases.
Wow. Yeah, I imagine that like 81 games last year, I imagine some of those were just like pinch running appearances.
Yeah, I think it was more like 100 plate appearances or 200 plate appearances or something.
Okay.
282.
So there you
go. So less than half a season.
All right, steel source out there on the waiver wire, Malik Smith, 31% own. Let's do some news and notes. I got a lot of stuff on today's show, guys. In addition to the early themes, it is Team Name Tuesday, and we are grading trades. What is today's Grade the Trade song? Well, will it load? We're going to grade some trades. I'm the teacher.
Great music video.
Yeah.
Great song.
Pretty good.
Just let it ride.
All right, that's all. We just need to hear him say hi for teacher. Yeah, so we'll grade some trades a little bit later. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com is our email address. Trey Turner stole his 7th base yesterday, and then he was reprimanded for it. Do you know why? Because there was runner on first, I believe, with 2 outs, and he stole And what do? They walked Bryce Harper and took the bat out of Bryce Harper's hands for the very, very cold Ryan Zimmerman, who was retired to end the inning.
How about you reprimand Ryan Zimmerman for sucking?
And how about there are some interesting early trends with Ryan Zimmerman that we'll talk about shortly?
Ooh, okay. And Gary Cohn on the Mets broadcast, the broadcaster, he said, why not just walk Harper originally? Like, if Turner's going to steal the base and then you walk him, why not just walk him and put Turner at second if that's what you want to do? It's a good point. But Turner, look, are you worried at all about his steals? He's been leading off. That may not be the case when what's his name? Eaton. Oh, the guy that I own in every league. Adam Eaton comes back on Friday.
Well,
but still, he's got 7 steals and 7 attempts. I think he was still stealing when he was hitting in the middle of the order.
What would we be worried about? He leads baseball in steals, right?
He's walking a ton. Anthony Rendon might go on the DL.
Are you worried at all about Trent Turner?
Zero. No. Yeah. Zero on the worryometer.
14 walks, 14 strikeouts is a lot, but I will remind you.
No, it's not. It's just 17% strike. It's exactly what it was last year with the strikeout rate.
Oh, all right.
And it's much lower than the average. Well,
really?
Much lower than current average.
14 yes. strikeouts? That's, well, I guess it's a lot of at bats.
He's gotten a lot of plate appearances.
Right.
Here's, and that will lead into one of my trends when we get to it.
Yeah, and Turner got off to a very slow start. He had a 665 OPS in his first 33 games last year and still was great after that. There is no timetable for Ronald Acuna's call-up. You should be hoping for a Preston Tucker slump, but it shouldn't be too long for Acuna.
Hitless again yesterday, Ronald Acuna.
Come on. Josh Harrison out 6 weeks with a broken hand. JT Realmuto could be back today. Anthony Rizzo will be back today. Will Myers and Adam Eaton could be back on Friday. Christian Yelich will be back very shortly, a couple of days. Jurickson Profar, another injured Ranger. He left with a possible concussion.
Willie Calhoun is crushing in the minors
and
complaining.
I was
so
going to get to that.
Hopefully he's up soon.
Yes. Yes, you might want to stash Willie Calhoun. Eric Thames sat yesterday's day-to-day. Same with Ryan Braun. Ben Gamel is nearing a return for Seattle. Do you think he gets playing time for AL-only owners out there, Ben Gamel?
Where?
I mean, for Ichiro?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I forgot Ichiro's playing every day. That'll stop, yeah.
And some noteworthy items. Aaron Judge became the fastest player to hit 60 home runs. He did it in 197 games. Mark McGwire, the previous record holder, 202 games. 3 Angels fans at Kauffman Stadium when the Angels were in Kansas City, they were asked not to cheer so loudly when Shohei Ohtani comes to bat. And the Angels themselves made this request. He doesn't like a lot of noise when he bats. Be quiet.
Well, we should probably spread that word, because I'm sure there's no way that other fans of other teams would want to influence him.
Exactly. Ryan Matson got a save yesterday for the Nationals. A huge win for the Nationals, coming back from a 6-1 deficit in the 8th. But Sean Doolittle had pitched Saturday and Sunday, so I think that's all that was.
Yeah, he's never going to pitch 3 days in a row, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think he did it at all last year either.
Yoan Moncada stole his first base. Congratulations.
Woo.
Atlanta became the first team, or the last team, to record a save this season. George Springer has 3 leadoff homers, like home runs to start a game this year. No other team has more than 1, so that's cool. Yes, Willie Calhoun is complaining and starting to get hot in AAA, and Gleyber Torres left yesterday's game with back stiffness. Seems like no big deal. So those are 2 prospects that you should have your eye on. Calhoun and Torres. In fact, we have an email about Gleyber Torres. Where are you, Gleyber Torres? Email. I don't know who sent it, but it did say, where would you rank Gleyber Torres among shortstops?
15.
15. Okay, who is in that range? Like, what, Asdrubal Cabrera or Gleyber Torres?
You would rather have Gleyber Torres than Asdrubal Cabrera, and that kind of, and I know that goes against what I was saying
You're
earlier,
contradicting
but
yourself.
That's the thing with a guy like Asdrubal Cabrera. And, you know, you could think of Evan Longoria as another example at third base where, like, he's probably going to put up good numbers at the end of the season, and you're probably going to be more excited about 10 different guys. But
yeah,
it won't hurt you if you don't get those guys.
I would rather have Didi. I'd rather have Cozart, but he's right behind that group.
Okay, so you're way too low on Didi, which we're going to talk about. So way too low on Didi Gregorius. I can't wait. I'm very excited to talk about that. But let's talk about some early season trends, guys. What have you noticed, Heath Cummings?
I've got a couple of just smaller things. You want me to just go through all of mine real quick?
Yeah, sure.
The fly ball revolution is still happening. We're seeing less ground balls than ever. But home run to fly ball rate is down to 2015 levels. And some of that could be the weather. There was a speculation in a piece in The Athletic that maybe the ball had been changed. Chris read that and did not seem moved. But it is something to keep an eye on. Infield fly ball rate is way up, and there's been some talk that pitchers are combating the fly ball revolution by throwing more pitches up in the zone, which is leading to more pop flies. Just something to keep an eye on. Aaron Judge is not striking out, 23.9% now. If that continues, he's the best hitter in baseball.
It's crazy what's happening right now. He's in Hey Real Quick coming up.
Well, I think the answer there is clearly that him and Giancarlo Stanton have to strike out about 30% of the time combined.
Right.
And, you know, Stanton's getting the strikeouts right now.
Two more real quick. 49 pitchers already have a save. I think that just, like, part of that is we had a ton of closers lose their job early in the year, which we kind of expected. We talked about that a lot in the preseason. Another part of that is we have several teams, like the Astros, that are going to have multiple players get multiple saves. And I do think, like, there's a trend with starters not pitching as long, with managers trying to be smarter about how they use their bullpens. It's making closer even more difficult. And then probably the biggest one, and maybe even the most actionable, the weather. All of these postponements have not been spread equally. I think it makes it almost pointless to talk about where somebody ranks in fantasy points at this point in the season. The Twins have played 11 games this year for the season. Mm-hmm. The White Sox have played 12. Royals, Mariners, Tigers have played 13. 10 teams have already played 16 games.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. That's why I've been trying to look at, like, strikeouts per game for teams rather than total strikeouts and, like, which teams are striking out the most.
Strikeout percentage.
Just go trade for all the Twins.
For teams, not for players.
Yeah, strikeout percentage for teams.
Why can't I just do per game? Per game is so much more relatable to the listener, sir. You got to give me that.
Because better offenses will strike out more.
Well, that's still, they get more plate appearances. But that's fine. I mean, that's still going to affect the pitchers that face them. I'm not saying that they're bad.
But those pitchers are going to be bad because they're going to give up a bunch of runs because they're better offense.
I think the closer stuff is really interesting. And I was sort of thinking about this, like, we are in the era of tanking, certainly in the NBA, and maybe and super teams in baseball. And the fact that what you just said about the way teams are using their bullpen, it might make the super closers even more valuable than we thought.
Yeah, I think that's true. The problem is that a couple of the guys, like, who are the super closers? Because on a lot of ADP lists and a lot of rankings lists, guys like Ken Giles and Corey Knebel were right there in the top five.
Sure. So I think this top three are still, even though Chapman is what, like two saves, the top three are still guys who are going to get just about every save chance for their team and should be very good, assuming health. And then Knebel, I mean, we can't really fault him. He got hurt. I don't know. Is Edwin Diaz a super closer? That team looks really good. He's pitching great.
You know, we should have put in that list that I take the blame for, because for 2 years I had to defend my ranking of this guy.
Who?
Wade Davis. He got a big deal. He had no questions about job security. We should have put Wade Davis up there. And then I'll say it again, a guy that I kind of came around on late in the spring, Raisel Iglesias.
But they're awful. Is he going to get 30 saves?
Yes.
All right. I mean, are they going to win 30 games?
Yes.
All right, Chris, your early season trends.
Okay. So one I want to mention is the Houston Astros are striking out more. I think they are like 18th in strikeout rate this season. And that's something I wanted to keep an eye on because last season, obviously, they were the least strikeout prone team in baseball. That may not have stuck. So something to keep in mind as we move forward with the Houston Astros. It probably doesn't mean you're starting any pitchers against them. But let's look at some StatCast data. There are a lot of really, really obvious names within the top 10 in average exit velocity. Guys like JD Martinez, Joey Gallo, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, and Ryan Zimmerman. Guys that we expect to be at the top of the list.
Did you say Ryan Zimmerman?
I did say Ryan Zimmerman. Would you like to know where Ryan Zimmerman ranks in average exit velocity in the year of our Lord 2018.
I mean, has he hit, like, has he made contact with four balls? Is that why
he has put 38 balls into play, okay, which is four fewer than Jose Abreu
in like eight more games?
I don't think that's true.
Look it up. Look it
would
up.
Would you like to know where Ryan Zimmerman ranks?
I would love to hear this. My cousin Vinny.
Number one.
In hard contact, right?
In average exit velocity per the StatCast system via MLB.com.
All right, that's
look,
interesting.
It
that's
might interesting. Mean nothing that he's hitting the crap out of the ball. Given the health concerns or the, I don't even know if, are, would we classify them as health concerns? What happened to him in spring training?
No.
It was weird. They weren't letting him play in games.
I don't think he wanted to, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not giving up on Ryan Zimmerman yet.
Well, that's interesting because I did have him on the drop-o-meter, and Zimmerman is 80% owned. 80% owned. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't drop him for like Justin Bour?
I think that's probably pretty close. But Justin Bour, actually, that's a good one. He is 175th out of 194 players in average launch angle, which basically just means he's hitting a bunch of ground balls right now.
The sample, and we had this talk about hard contact rate and how small the sample size is and how it may not mean much yet. Like, a couple of balls not hit very hard at all could really have a big impact on your average exit velocity right now.
Sure.
A couple of balls just pounded directly into the ground could have a big difference on your average
it
launch
could.
Angle.
Okay. I mean, the thing with that, though, is that the ranges are relatively small. You know, like Justin Bour's probably not hitting he's probably not hitting any balls with like a negative 90 degree launch angle. So, yes, a few could really drastically change that. But the fact that he's so low, and he's supposed to be a guy that we think of as a power hitter, it's a concern. But it's a concern in as much as he's not swinging the bat right now, not a concern as in, like, Justin Bour is trying to be D. Gordon now, you know?
Right, right. He's a slumping, right? But I think he's coming out of it a little bit. Things are getting better for Bour, and he was a sleeper hitter this week, so hopefully, you know, four games at Miller Park, two at Yankee Stadium. He was okay yesterday. All right, give me another thing that you wanted to talk about, Chris.
Let's talk about the darling of the early season breakouts, Jose Martinez. He actually ranks four spots below Justin Bour in average launch angle and does not really hit the ball all that hard. He's not bad, but he's 80th out of 194 players, which is slightly above average, but not exactly something that you're running out and screaming about. And so you've got a guy who hits the ball on the ground, doesn't hit the ball particularly hard, and yet has been, what, one of the five best hitters in baseball so far?
So what I'm hearing is you should try to trade Jose Martinez for Ryan Zimmerman.
I would not be surprised if Ryan Zimmerman was better than Jose Martinez for the rest of the season. And, you know, Jose Martinez, according to the metrics, is one of the worst defensive players in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have issues there.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens when Jed Jerko gets back. He didn't hit righties last year well at all.
He's back, I'm pretty sure. I think he's coming off the DL today or imminently.
Yeah, so it's going to be really interesting to see if Jose Martinez is an everyday player. Right now, I would assume he leads baseball in RBI with 15. I think if you could trade him, and I'm not saying he's bad, I just think he's probably more like Yuli Gurriel than anything else.
Okay. He does not lead base. He's close. Baseball's RBI leader is two men tied with 17. Take a guess.
Bryce Harper.
And? American League West?
Someone on the Rangers, Mariners, Astros, or whoever the other team is.
Yeah, you keep going. The A's. It's Jed Lowry.
Oh, of course.
Jed Lowry with 17 RBIs. All right. Thank you, Chris. And then I will tell you my early season trend in just 1 second. But actually, one early season trend is this. The Draft app is freaking awesome. We absolutely love the Draft app. Look at the score. and in the contest that I did yesterday, wasn't my score, unfortunately, but the real Yateman with 101 points from five players. And Keuchel was good, not amazing. Giancarlo Stanton was not that great. But Didi Gregorius, Bryce Harper, and George Springer, congratulations to the real Yateman. You destroyed the rest of the league, the rest of the draft that we did yesterday. 101 points. That's a big score right there. And you won yourself $4.50 in our $1 tournament, which I do every single day on the Draft app. You want in? All right. Download Draft. Search for Draft in the App Store or go to draft.com. Use the promo code FBtoday. FB Today is our promo code. You will get a free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit. Just use that promo code FB Today. Draft is so fun. You're doing snake drafts just like you do in your seasonal leagues. You do them every single day, as many as you want. No trades, no waiver wire. Just set it and forget it. And drafts start at just $1, and you can get some cold hard cash and get paid out the next day. I'm really having a great time on Draft, even when I lose to a team that awesome like I did yesterday. But still, please download the Draft app or go to draft.com and tell your friends and follow me. I'm Big Kane 2 on Draft. Use that promo code. It's FB Today. Start playing. It's really fun. Spread the word. FB Today. Use that promo code when you sign up. Get a free entry into a real money draft. All right. My impression is that my early season trend, those four super aces have been incredible and they have been worth the price. And what really spurred me to discuss this was I own Chris Sale in a 13-team Roto League. I don't know if any of the people in this league are listening. I hope you aren't. If you are, just please, you know, skip ahead. Kind of offered a, not straight up, but the main parts of the trade would be my Chris Sale for his Trey Turner. And, like, I had the third overall pick. I took Arenado, was considering Turner. I took Sale, like, 22nd or something. It's almost like, how do I not trade Sale for Turner, but the two guys that I share the team with don't want to do it? And I get it. Like, right now, those super aces feel so valuable that it seems like Mike Trout or Bryce Harper is the only player that you'd be like, no chance. I wouldn't give them up for Kershaw, Kluber, Sale, or Scherzer. And you know, I'm not saying that they are top five picks, but they feel that way. They've been great. And
has anything,
they feel more valuable.
Nothing's really changed there, though.
No, but, you know, sometimes it's like, it doesn't take long to reevaluate how important that player is to your team.
The argument against them being those top five guys is just that pitching's harder to predict and pitchers are more likely to get injuries. I don't think either of those things have changed. Like, these guys are awesome. Nobody doubts that. Like, there was about a start and a half where people were like, oh, I don't know, Clayton Kershaw's velocity's down, but it's Clayton Kershaw. They're really good. Like,
I know.
I'm sorry, I'm not providing high-level analysis.
They feel more valuable. Maybe it's because I don't know that many. Maybe people are just struggling with pitching right now and not hitting, and they're desperate to get one of those aces. They feel more valuable now than they did even on draft day.
I mean, yeah, I would always have loved to have had one.
I have 3 in one league, and I'm 1-2.
How do you like your team?
It's the highest scoring team in the league, so all right, well, I like it pretty well.
There you go. All right, you got an email of the day from Pete in Brooklyn, and he says, hey, Joey, Paul, Anthony, and Jose. Who is that? I don't know. I know it's against the Marlins, but I think it's pretty realistic to think that after this season, we'll be talking about Luis Severino as a super ace. His stuff is electric, and he seems to only be getting better. What are your thoughts? Luis Severino, is he a super ace?
No.
He is in the group of pitchers that are attempting to join the super aces. And I think he has the ability to possibly join the super aces, but I will not declare that before the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. I think Gerrit Cole could join the super aces.
I think Justin Verlander.
He's taken a bigger step than Severino so far this year.
Justin Verlander also could.
Has been. And yeah, sure.
Right? I mean, I know he's not young or anything, but the way he's
been
pitching.
Noah Syndergaard.
Syndergaard, yeah. I want to bring something up about Chris Sale, by the way. Just to see how you guys feel, because I've gotten some questions about it. He is not pitching deep into games. He has not thrown more than 93 pitches in any start. He has not thrown more than 6 innings in any start. And there was talk, legit talk, that they are going to do what they can to keep him fresh, because Chris Sale's career ERA by month, career, March/April, 274. May, 257. June, 266. July, 266. Unbelievable. First 4 months of the year, 274 ERA or better. August, 322. September/October, 378. That's regular season, not including postseason. So, look, 322 is really good. 378 is okay. But he does wear down a little bit as the year goes on. Do you think that we will not get the innings that we expected from Chris Sale because they are trying to preserve him?
No.
I think he's going to throw 200 innings.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't worry about it then. Hey, real quick. Let's do some hey real quick. Then we got some Team Name Tuesday. Also want to talk about DeGrom and two guys who had much better starts than their final numbers, and their final numbers were very good. DeGrom and Luis Castillo. Actually, Castillo's final numbers weren't that good. It was a real shame because he had six scoreless innings.
That was stupid. That was so stupid.
He was lights out.
Yeah.
So good yesterday.
He started the seventh with like 93 pitches, I think, and allowed two runs before he was pulled and then gave up two more on inherited runners.
And DeGrom had seven innings of one run, ended up 7 1/3 of three runs, but 24 swinging strikes. Remember that guy who said he wasn't electric? Don't listen to him ever. He looks great right now, Jacob DeGrom. Six walks, 30 strikeouts, and 25 innings, and he's got great numbers in his career against Washington. At least he did last year. He's great against Washington. All right, hey, real quick, Aaron Judge or Joey Votto? Rest of season.
Joey Votto.
Ah, Aaron Judge. There we go.
Neither of our answers have changed.
Well, come on, you got to be a little bit wary of Joey Votto, right? One extra base
Why?
Hit.
Why?
One extra base hit.
Why?
One extra base hit.
Why?
One extra
velocity, Chris.
Why would I be worried about this?
I mean, this is a really bad start.
Like
three walks in 15 games.
I guess I would be worried about this if I had like a short-term memory issue, or if like history started this year. But he did this 2 years ago.
He did. He in his first 16 games 2 years ago, Votto had a 499 OPS. Rest of season, he had a 1040 OPS.
He didn't have a 700 OPS until May 30th.
Yeah, he got off to a very slow start.
What's weird, and I haven't dug in deep enough to see why, but he's not walked yet. Or, I mean, he has walked, but he's not walking like Joey Votto.
Right, yet. Three walks.
And sometimes he has been open about the fact that sometimes he tries things for entire months just to set things up for later in the year. It's really a strange way to look at things, but I guess when you play for a team that doesn't have anything to play for, it doesn't matter as much. He is swinging more than he ever has, or since 2010.
And he did that early. I think he wasn't walking much early last season as well.
Okay. All right, so we're split on Judge versus Votto. Hey, real quick, Didi Gregorius or Alex Bregman?
Bregman.
Bregman. But we should talk about Didi Gregorius, and we shouldn't be quite so dismissive as I think Mr. Heath is going to be.
I am not being dismissive at all.
Sounds like you're being pretty dismissive.
Not even a little bit. I would like to congratulate.
You have ranked like 13th as shortstop.
I would like, I haven't made my rankings update for this week. I would like to congratulate Didi Gregorius on posting a hard contact rate over 25%.
You got to get over the hard contact rate thing.
No, he's making hard contact.
Oh, okay, good.
So that's like, but no, if it was 24% again this year, he's not going to be as good as he was last year. I'll just say it.
I don't know. Like he's in a perfect park.
Yeah.
For a guy who doesn't swing that hard. Yep. Like he's walked three times as often as he struck out so far.
That's big.
He's not striking out at all.
And that continues good plate discipline that improved in the second half of last year and the playoffs for Gregorius. Not this good. But he did, believe it or not, Didi Gregorius, Alex Bregman was the number four shortstop in fantasy last year. Gregorius averaged more fantasy points per game than Bregman. Now, Bregman, it seems like, is a slow starter. This is his first year when he got called up, he was a terribly slow starter. Last year, he was the best buy low candidate, basically, because he went on a pretty big tear the last, like, 4 months. And he's got 10 walks and 9 strikeouts. But Didi really, he has erased my doubts, put it that way.
He has not erased mine, but he has made some improvements, and he will get a slight bump up in the rankings. It just won't be to Alex Bregman territory.
All right.
Like, if Didi had 3 home runs so far this year, would you feel exactly the same?
Was he walking 3 times as often as he struck out?
Everything. Only thing that changes is he goes from 5 to 3 home runs.
Yeah, sure. I would, honestly. I would.
Okay.
Okay, and you got to move him, like, ahead of Paul DeJong?
He'll be right in the Paul DeJong range.
Okay. And, hey, real quick, Bryce Harper or anyone else in baseball?
I would have assumed I would have gotten some kind of notification that Mike Trout retired.
All right, fine.
But that seems like big news. Are you breaking that?
No, but he has been better than Trout. But Bryce Harper or anyone not named Mike Trout?
I'll say Harper.
We've never seen Bryce Harper start well and then slow down.
Hey, look, obviously I'm taking Trout over him, but would you take anyone else over Harper other than Trout?
You might have to consider Aaron Judge.
I'd take Altuve over him, too.
I would probably take Bryce Harper over anyone else at this point, but, like, I don't know. It's 16, 17 games.
I still take Altuve.
He has done this 2 years in a row, Bryce Harper. Like, incredible starts to the season.
No, April's his best month by far. Yeah. I think he has, like, a career OPS over 1,000 in April.
Let's do a quick round of Team Name Tuesday. Eggs Odorizzi. That's a good one, but we've had it. Ungodly Snells.
Sure.
Albie's There For You. Yes, we've had that one before. Yep. Super Benintendo.
Yeah.
Benny and Junis. The Big Gossman. What is it? Oh, like Bossman?
We've had Benintendi and the Bets, right?
Benintendi and the Bets, yes. Many times. Dawn of the Desmond. I'm just kind of going through my email here. That's what C-Sheck. I like that. That's what C-Sheck. Very good.
Super Benintendent Chalmers.
Yes. Very good. DeJong and the Reeseless. Let's see. I should have put these in the notes. Also, I'm banning Acuña Moncada and Acuña Machado. They are overused.
What about Steamed Hands?
Yeah. I love the Simpsons references. Steamed Hands. Let's see. I'm sorry, guys. I'm doing this very sloppily. Are you making fun of me because this is so bad?
No, this is great.
This is really one of your low points.
Here's what happened. I overslept this morning, and I didn't get to put this stuff in the notes, so I'm just going through my emails. Snell you later. Mejia later.
I think that's enough, really.
Better Call Saltalamacchia. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah. Is he playing baseball?
I don't think so. We better call him. And I'll do one more here, or one more email. It's not your Brault.
Sure.
And
with
that was one more.
That's fine. That's it.
And
I'm
if you're
sorry.
Doing that one, the team logo is the Goodwill Hunting, like the guy Robin Williams hugging him, right?
Yes, that's actually what he put, Goodwill Hunting in parentheses. All right, we've got like 14 emails that I think we can fly through. Are you ready?
Woo! It can't go any worse.
Brad from upstate New York, dear Zach Slater, Screech and Belding, 10 team head-to-head categories league with OBP, Paul DeJong or Scott Kingery?
DeJong.
DeJong.
Really? All right. Okay. All right. This is from Eric, a sushi lover in Orange County. And we're still going to read your email, even though you love sushi. Steven Souza, Adam Eaton, Mitch Haniger. Who do I drop? Points League.
Steven Souza.
Yep.
Okay. This is from Thomas in a Midwest college town. Madison, Wisconsin?
Yes.
Dear Brad, Chad, and Thad. Who are they?
No idea.
Is it too early to drop Evan Gattis in a 10-team roto league?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like really like for him to not do anything to lose that DH job. So please start hitting Evan Gattis. Nick from a small New Jersey town south of Trenton. Should I drop Tanner Roark, Jake Junis, or Eduardo Rodriguez for Joey Lucchesi in a 10-team league?
Can I make my answer no, dependent on the answer to the next question that he wants to ask?
The same, different guy, though.
No, it's the
same guy. Oh, I'm sorry. And would you trade David Price plus any of the three guys I currently have for Chris Archer?
Yes, I would trade David Price for any of those three guys and then add Joey Lucchesi. But if I can't, I would be fine dropping, honestly, any of those guys for Joey Lucchesi.
Yeah, I think I'd probably drop Junis.
So wait, you would trade Price and let's say Junis for Archer and then use your roster spot to pick up Luke Casey.
Yep.
Right, that makes sense. From Paul, should I drop Fulmer or Clevenger for Luke Casey?
Fulmer.
From Will, Ronaldo Lopez or Luke Casey?
I believe we already answered this question.
Yeah, I have not answered this question. I have not answered it in my own head yet.
Oh. Chris, you're saying Luke Casey?
I think I said Ronaldo Lopez.
He did say
you
Lopez.
Said Lopez. I apologize. Might be. Alex from Rapid City. Johan Camargo is available in my league. Would you pick up Camargo and drop Alonso, Kipnis, Dietrich, or Faria?
No. I'm not really...
I'm not really a Camargo guy.
Yeah, I don't really see much there.
From Taylor. At what point do you give up on Ian Happ? Perella is sitting on the waiver wire leading the league in hits, while I continue to see Happ not even in the starting lineup. When do you give up on Happ for Perella?
You can give up on Happ whenever you like. I am not giving up on Happ until May 1st.
I think if you're like, if you end this week 3-0 or 4-0, whatever, Ian Happ might not be a bad guy to trade for.
What's going to happen on April 30th?
I do not believe, like Chris does, that months are artificial constructs. They matter. No, I've set an arbitrary deadline that I'm going to wait and see what happens for the first month of the season.
Josiah from Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. What is Shohei Ohtani's value in a 12-team daily lineups league with a DH roster spot? You can use him as both a hitter and a pitcher in this format. Am I aiming too high trying to trade Ohtani for Aaron Judge? And would he be a first-round draft pick in this format? This is 12 teams, daily lineups, where you can use Ohtani as both a hitter and a pitcher.
Yeah, I think he'd be a first-round pick right now.
I think he would probably be a first-round pick right now. I don't think he would be worth a first-round pick.
And Adam, I think only you could answer the am I aiming too high question, because that's kind of your area of expertise.
Yes, you're aiming too high trying to trade him for Judge because Judge is off to a great start.
What was the trade that Jamie was telling us Adam was trying to make?
Jamie was telling us about multiple trades that Adam was trying to make in a league that they share, Jamie Eisenberg.
No.
And how embarrassing it is to be a part of a team that's making those offers.
He's so
I got a pretty embarrassing offer from Adam, too.
You did not.
You need
a closer.
You offered me Keenan Middleton and Reynaldo Lopez for Jose Quintana.
Not insulting
two
at
guys,
all.
Two guys there, that you added on waivers.
There are no,
like a,
no, I drafted, like I drafted Reynaldo Lopez.
Oh, congratulations.
And that's a deep, 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 deep league, and there are no closers.
It's a 12-team.
It's a 30-man roster league.
It's a 12-team league.
It's a lot. There's no closers. Not insulting.
It's insulting.
I don't think it's crazy to offer Ohtani for Votto in that format.
No.
I don't even know who I'd rather have. I'd rather have Votto.
Votto.
All right, let's skip around. Last one, and then we'll do 10 more minutes of Team Name Tuesday. Trevor in Nashville, please rank these fill-in guys at their worth once my regulars start to come back. So basically, like, who's the most droppable is basically what he's asking. Who's the most droppable? Desmond, Chu, Yonder Alonso, Dickerson, or as Drupal Cabrera? This is a categories league. Desmond Chu, Alonso, Dickerson, as Drupal.
Alonso and Chu.
Yeah, that's probably the case. Although Desmond, he's got 4 home runs, I think, but he has hit like 7 fly balls this season. I think he's the most extreme grab ball hitter in baseball right now.
I'm going to actually read a couple more. Brett in a city near Sacramento. Is it time to drop Matt Olson in a 10-team league? Gurriel and Alonso are on waivers.
No. Do you remember the Ryan Zimmerman thing that I said? I hope you do.
I do.
It was not that long ago.
Oh, no.
Matt Olson was like 7th in average exit velocity. He's still hitting the ball hard. I'm not that worried about Matt Olson.
He homered off a lefty yesterday.
I will say I get a little bit of a feeling.
No, he homered off a righty. I'm sorry. Homered off a righty.
From when I used to play poker, that if I was sitting there with a hand and I folded it and then the flop came and, I should have played that hand. It's like, there goes a chance to win. This is not going to be a good day. And kind of feel like these guys that are hitting the ball hard and making outs, they're just going to have a bad year.
That's what you think?
It's a feeling that I get.
Okay.
It's a feeling. It's not what I think.
When you look to the West. And from Brian, should I sell high on Ozzie Albies?
Sure.
How high can you sell?
Oh, well, I mean, you can clearly get Jose Altuve for him, right?
I mean, that like...
LOL.
You would try.
Probably someone in the 3rd to 4th round range is what I would aim for.
Would you trade him for D. Gordon in a roto league?
Yeah, 100%.
You could get that done pretty easily.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. He's not this good. He's good. But, like, the Ozzie Albies that we were hoping to see was not, like, an all-or-nothing power hitter. And so there's going to be some kind of regression. And it's a question of whether the power regresses before he starts, like, drawing walks and, you know, making more consistent contact.
Yeah, and the other thing about the power, he is hitting a lot of doubles, and especially lately. Some of the power, a good chunk of it came at Coors Field. But even since leaving Coors Field, I think his last five games, 12 for 23 with two homers and five doubles.
He's on an absolute tear. And I want to be clear, I think he's really good.
Right. I did ask Scott that. I think Scott was the one who answered, like, should I sell high on Ozzie Albies, or am I going to risk giving up one of the true breakout players? And
I
Scott
think both
was like,
could be true.
Yeah. I think that's basically what we concluded.
Because he was going around 100, maybe 120 in drafts. Maybe a little higher towards the end, but, you know, I think he's probably more of like a fifth or sixth round pick.
All right, guys, we got about 8 minutes left. Give me your quick thoughts here as we go through the rotation. Jacob deGrom, he has a 2-0 record, 3.24 ERA, 6 walks, 30 strikeouts in 25 innings. Jacob deGrom.
He's good.
Electric.
Woogie, woogie, woogie.
Agreed. DeGrom or Severino, who would you rather have?
Severino.
All right. Luis Castillo, 6.75 ERA right now.
He's very good. I'm not worried.
I am. Oh, I'm a little worried. He is good. I'm a little worried.
Nah.
Who would you rather have, Castillo or this next guy, Blake Snell, had a great start against the Rangers?
I would still rather have Luis Castillo, but both of those guys are excellent.
Yeah, I think I think I'd still rather have Castillo, but they have definitely converged.
Aaron Nola, 2.22 ERA, but only 15 strikeouts in 24 and a third so far, and he has not had a double-digit swinging strike game yet. Aaron Nola.
Well, he's had some murderers row lineups that he's faced.
Atlanta, the Mets, the Reds, and the Braves. Twice.
I mean, you can't expect much against those lineups.
He has turned back into Aaron Nola. And I thought 3 years ago, Aaron Nola could be a very good starting pitcher without being one of the top strikeout guys. I like his floor a lot.
His velocity does... No, it's fine. It hasn't gone down. So I don't know, because that was the big thing for me. He started getting more swinging strikes last season. He started throwing harder. It made it easier to buy him as a high strikeout guy. I haven't really changed my opinion on that yet.
James Paxton and Dallas Keuchel were both very good last night. Who would you rather own?
Oh, James Paxton, easily.
Paxton.
Okay. Frenchie starting pitchers. Do these ownership percentages sound okay to you? Julio Teheran, 78% owned. He found his slider last night, and it was outstanding. Brent Suter, 21% owned. Daniel Mengden, 16% owned. Herman Marquez, 25% owned. So it's Teheran at 78% owned. And then Suter, Marquez, and Mengden, 25% owned or less.
I assume all of these guys are 2-start pitchers this week?
Yes, they should
be. That's the only way Teheran should be 78% owned.
Okay. And then do you have any desire to pick up Suter, Mengden, or Marquez?
No.
No?
Okay. Are you ready to grade some trades?
Yes.
Are you ready to
no.
hear Van Halen?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's grade some trades. Here we go. A C is average. And yeah, rock on. Here we go. Okay, thank you, Van Halen. From Michael, give up Jacob deGrom and Trey Mancini. Get J.D. Martinez and Kyle Hendricks. DeGrom and Mancini. Give up DeGrom and Mancini. Get J.D. Martinez and Kyle Hendricks.
A minus.
I think that's an A.
Okay. Good job. Next trade is from Samir, Head-to-Head Points League. Give up Michael Fulmer and Michael Conforto. Get Garrett Cole. Fulmer and Conforto for Cole.
B. B plus.
Okay, B plus. So far, so good. From A. Mitchell, give up Severino. Now, this is an interesting one here. Give up Severino. Get Andrew Benintendi and Blake Snell.
B.
B minus.
Yeah. Benintendi, does he feel like someone who's much better in points than Roto again? Not much, but better.
That doesn't seem unfair.
I understand why you would say that, because he may not be a big power guy and he may not be a big steals guy, but I still think he's going to hit for a good average. I still think he's going to score a ton of runs. So I think he'll be good in both.
Okay. Also, I think it's like a plate discipline thing and sort of like an extra base hits, doubles, triples sort of thing.
Right.
All right. From Tyler, dear non-zero chance, grade the trade. It's a 12-team keeper league, head-to-head categories. Give away Tanaka for Lorenzo Cain.
Seems like a C. Seems perfectly fair for both sides.
Did you say whether it was Roto or points?
It is categories.
C minus.
All right, Chad from Lawrence, Kansas. Hey, Albert, Manny, and Kenny. Those are Cleveland Indians.
Yes.
Old ones. 12-team standard, 5x5 Roto. Give up Stanton and Godley. Stanton and Godley, gone. Getting back, Corey Seager, Andrew Benintendi, Ian Happ, and the pitcher, Shohei Ohtani.
Ooh.
So let's read it again. Stanton and Godley, you're getting back Shohei Ohtani, the pitcher, and these three hitters. Corey Seager, Andrew Benintendi, and Ian Happ. Damn, that is...
It's not an A, but it's a good trade. See, I think Ohtani's better than Godley.
Okay, then, yeah, then this is a good
trade. I'm not
the Corey
Seager, Andrew Benintendi guy, but... And Ian Happ is kind of a throw-in at this point. But Benintendi, Seager, and Happ for Stanton, that's not bad value.
I'm calling Godley and Ohtani a wash. Seager, Benintendi. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a B minus.
All right, this is no name on here. Dynasty League. Give up Marcell Ozuna, get JD Martinez. Dynasty.
A.
Dynasty.
A.
All right.
Yeah, A minus.
Drew from Chicago, last one. Dear Hader, Harrison, Reddick, and Donaldson.
Josh's.
How is your name not Josh if we're going to send that email? 10-team Dynasty League again with OBP and quality starts. Give up.
I think he was joshing us.
Maybe. Give up Blake Snell and Victor Robles. Ooh, young talent. Snell and Robles. Get Greinke and a third-round pick for Snell and Robles. Greinke and a third-round pick.
So a third-round pick is not super valuable in Dynasty.
Right.
How long until we think Blake Snell's better than Zach Greinke? Not this year.
2020.
That's a while. It's like a C. It seems okay, but...
Yeah, I don't like it.
I would prefer to get the impact, the for sure impact guy now.
It really depends. If you make that move, you better think that you're in really good position to win a title this year.
All right, guys.
It could be as soon as next year.
Let's do today's matchups real quick. Start or sit, Danny Duffy at Joe Biagini.
I don't think I want to start Duffy there.
I'm sitting both.
Yarlene Garcia or Harleen Garcia at Masahiro Tanaka, whatever. Sit Garcia.
Start Tanaka.
Yeah. How about Andrew Cashner or Francisco Liriano?
I don't think Liriano is the worst start.
Is Cashner the worst start? He's been good.
I would prefer Liriano to Cashner.
Chad Bettis at Trevor Williams.
No, I wouldn't start either. By the way, Charlie Blackmon has 5 home runs this season, and 0 of them have been at Coors Field.
Same with DJ LeMahieu.
There you go.
Matt Moore and Yanni Chirinos. Yanni?
I'm okay starting Yanni Chirinos, yeah.
All right. Heath, feel free to jump in. Gio Gonzalez at Zach Wheeler.
Gio.
That I forgot to mention, Zach Wheeler. I really want to see what he does tonight. This is a guy, if he can get the walks down, could really, really emerge as close to a must start. Maybe I'm overreacting.
I don't want to start him tonight.
That's
no,
fair.
I would not start
totally
him tonight.
Wait and see. Pick him up. Pick him up now, I'd say, if you have a roster spot.
Yeah, he's Matt Moore until further notice, so we'll see. Zach Wheeler. If he actually starts to actually do it.
Is 56% owned. Corey Kluber, yes. Jake Odorizzi against the Indians.
No.
No.
Nick Pivetta at Mike Fultonevich.
Yes.
Both?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm probably starting Pivetta. I'd like to know how bad the wind is in Atlanta. That is not a good place to pitch when the wind's blowing out.
Sal Romano and Junior Guerra.
No.
No.
Adam Wainwright.
Actually, Junior Guerra's not the worst fill-in option.
Adam Wainwright and Tyler Chatwood.
No.
Start Chatwood.
Johnny Cueto and Patrick Corbin.
Yes.
Start them both.
Miguel Gonzalez and Trevor Cahill.
No.
David Price, yes. Shohei Ohtani, yes. Alex Wood and Brian Mitchell. Alex Wood, yes. Brian Mitchell, no. And Lance McCullers, yes. And Ariel Miranda, no, right? Against the Astros.
Yes.
Correct.
Correct. Thank you, guys. Good show. Informative stuff. Thank you for your time. And we are done. I'm just rambling. Bye.